now, Westwood One presents the Lost Linen Tapes, brought to you by English Leather, a man's cologne and aftershave. Some guys have it all. Here's our host, Elliot Mintz.
This week, we're going to hear the national radio premiere of John Lennon's legendary 1974 guest DJ appearance with Dennis Elsis on WNEW-FM in New York. But first, let's check out this rough demo version of Revolution.
Don't you know that you can count me out? Well, don't you know it's gonna be alright? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? You say you got a real solution. Tell you, brother, you have to wait. Don't you know it's gonna be all right? Don't you know it's gonna be all right? Don't you know it's gonna be all right?
An early demo of Revolution, in which John Lennon sings that you can count him out when you're talking about destruction. I'll be back with Dennis Elsis in just a few moments.
Next on the Lost Lennon Tapes, John is guest DJ, the national radio premiere of the Lennon-Elsis interview.
Wind southeast, 8 miles an hour, cloudy. And somebody said it was the air was unacceptable today, but I accept it.
Let's return to the Lost Lennon Tapes and host, Elliot Mintz.
In autumn 1974, as he completed Walls and Bridges, John promoted the album by taking to the airwaves in several major American cities. Among fans and collectors, a favorite Lennon on radio appearance is the one he did on WNEW-FM in New York with air personality Dennis Elsis. Not only is the interview part of the Lennon archives, but it's included in the Museum of Broadcasting's permanent collection. So I'm very pleased this week to bring you highlights from the Lennon-Elsis interview for the first time on national radio, and to welcome Dennis as my special guest. Now, Dennis, how about setting up the first segment of your show? It's a story worth recounting for our listeners.
Okay. I had met John Lennon just a few days before at a recording studio called The Record Plant in Manhattan. I briefly got to say hello and shake his hand and, you know, say what a big fan I was. And I spoke to some of the people that were with him that day, and I thought, well, let me at least ask. So I said, listen, if John wants to come up to the radio station and talk about the new album, we'd love to have him. Lo and behold, they said a couple of days later, sure, why doesn't he come up? When would be a good time? I mean, I couldn't believe it. So, of course, I suggested that he come visit me on my show Saturday afternoon. And about a quarter to four, they called me from downstairs and they said, John Lennon is downstairs with a couple of people. I said, great. And I put on a long song, The Ballet for a Girl in Buchanan, Chicago. That's with Make Me Smile and all those other tunes in it. It's about 15 minutes long so that I could go outside and make sure that he got in and set up the studio and so on and so forth. So as the show opens, you will hear the end of Chicago doing The Ballet for a Girl in Buchanan. And Lennon has just a couple of minutes ago sat down, gotten comfortable, got a little something, I guess a glass of water, a cup of coffee, whatever it was. And we go back to that Saturday afternoon, New York City, a little rainy, September 28th, 1974. Chicago and the Ballet for a Girl in Buchanan. Now, I've been talking about... I don't like to do this. I'd like to have told you all afternoon what was going to happen. But now that it's going to happen... Why don't you just say hello?
Surprise, surprise. It's Dr. Winston O'Boogie at your service. I am Dennis's surprise, actually.
And he didn't come out of a cake or anything like that. John Lennon is with us, and we'll spend some time this afternoon to talk about the new album and a whole bunch of things, and maybe even do some disc jockeying.
Yeah, it's my second favorite occupation.
We'll get into some good music.
Okay. I'd like to play Whatever Gets You Through the Night from a new album. It's a single, and Elton John singing with me.
Don't need a gun to blow your mind.
Ah, hello, folks. That was them singing together. And are we going to the news or are we going to drop the news?
No, I think we'll listen to news later on today.
Okay, we know what happened, don't we?
Yeah. That's a single.
Yeah, and it's wild and rough. I call it Crippled Inside. You know, it's like releasing Crippled Inside from the Imagine album instead of Imagine. But I took a consensus of opinion, because after I'd done it, I couldn't make a head and a tail of which one could be commercial, you know. So they told me that one, so here we go, and it seems to be doing all right.
Was the whole album done in New York?
Yeah, Record Plant. In fact, I've recorded everything since I left England in Record Plant. Anybody listening to Record Plant, they're a good gang there. And Al, what is it?
Carmine.
I keep calling him Al Carmine, so he's just mixing it down to Quad because I couldn't face it again. I just arrived in L.A. and I got a note saying, we want a Quad.
Uh-huh.
I said, are you kidding? I've just mixed the whole thing. He should have told me that first. But he's doing a good job for the 20 people who buy Quad.
Well, you never... The cover is, for those of you who haven't had a chance to see it yet in your favorite record store...
Because it ain't out yet. It's this week.
It's not
week.
In the store?
I don't know if it's in the... Well, Richard, a friend of mine here, that went down to get it the other day and they hadn't got it yet. I guess it'll be early next week. It'll be in the shops.
All right. Now, there's a drawing on the front.
You could call it that, yeah. Well, it's hard to explain, isn't it, because it's all flapped over. A guy at Capitol designed it. It's a nice design.
The album comes in two parts.
Yeah.
It says John Lennon, June 52, age 11.
That's true. There's an exam they have in England that they hang over your head. You know, there's a couple of them, but one of them is called 11 Plus. And they hang it over you from age 5. You know, if you don't pass the 11 Plus, which you take at 11, obviously, then you're finished in life. So that was the only exam that I ever passed because I was terrified. And after that exam's over, the teacher says you can do whatever you want. So I just painted. And these are of all the childhood sort of drawings and paintings I did. This was the only ones that ever got saved. And I was originally going to use them for the Oldies But Goldies album with Spectre, but that sort of fell apart in the middle because of his accident and that. And the guy'd already started the design, so I said, oh, it'll fit the new album anyway, so use them. And there's three or four pictures that I did at that age.
And Walls and Bridges, what is that? Is there a prophetic title? Or
I don't really know, you know. I mean, I get these things that sound nice, you know. I had the song number 9, Dream, was called Walls and Bridges, and, you know, I just had the title Walls and Bridges, and I tried to fit it in anywhere like a jigsaw, but... So it didn't seem to fit any of the songs, and I hadn't written anything, so I just shoved it on as the album title. It seemed to be sort of wide enough to cover everything. It's like communication, you know, walls,
right.
Four walls, bridges you go over. I think I heard it on a public service announcement on TV, you know, one of those late night things where they make you feel awful in between the movies, you know.
Number 9, Dream, was Walls and Bridges?
Was called Walls and Bridges. I mean, some of them have had 20 titles, you know. I change them all the time up to the last minute.
All right. Well, let's take a listen.
Okay.
Number 9 has no reference back to the old number 9.
Well, yeah. If you look at the cover, and those of you who don't have it, you'll get it. In June 1952, I've drawn four guys playing football, and number 9 is the number on the guy's back. And now that was pure coincidence. And I was born on the 9th of October, and that number 9 Beatle thing was an engineer's voice, you know. And it just sort of seems to be my number, so I stick with it.
All right. It's just about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so I need an official station break.
Okay, this is John Lennon with Dennis on WNEW-FM, and we're mucking about on a Saturday rainy afternoon because we've got you all trapped in your rooms, you see, because it's too wet to go anywhere.
We even have the 4 o'clock temperature readings.
We do? Oh, let's see how hot it is. Temperature is 68, no wonder I'm sweating. Humidity 93, PCT, whatever that is.
Percent.
Oh, why don't they do those little round things? Barometer, 30.03 and falling. Oh, disgusting. Wind southeast, 8 miles an hour, cloudy. And somebody said it was, the air was unacceptable today, but I accept it. Sounded all
That's
right to
the,
me.
That's the official forecast.
Here's the official WNEW weather forecast. Mostly cloudy with periods of rain this afternoon, tonight and tomorrow. High times. Oh, no. Wish it was. High this afternoon and tomorrow in the 70s. Low tonight in the mid-60s. Watch out for it. That's about my period. Monday's outlook, fair and cool, man.
Okay. Metro Media Stereo at WNEW-FM in New York, John Lennon.
Ah, so there we are. That was some Gaelic words. Bawa Kawa Puse.
I'm trying to follow the lyrics in here. There's a lyric sheet, thank goodness, for the album.
Well, I print them even if I'm not pleased with them, you know, because I always tend to, on a few tracks, bury the voice.
There are drawings within the lyric book, too. Are those also from...
Yeah, same period. There's about one that isn't. There's a picture of a horse, I think I did about a year or something later, which is at the end. Mm-hmm. What they did was sort of jumble them up on the cover and then repeat some of them back inside.
It's not... I mean, the package is really nice.
Well, it's the first time since I was a Beatle, as it were, that I let the package out of my hands. I used to even make the cover, like on Mind Games. I handmade it, you know, and cut out little pictures. I enjoyed it. But I didn't really have time, you know. Yeah, and I'm glad because I let it go and the guy came up with something creative and it's a surprise for me now. I can look at it and enjoy it without sort of thinking, oh, I should have done this, should have done that.
You've got all kinds of friends, Jim Keltner, Jesse Ed Davis.
Yeah, Klaus Voormann, bass, Nicky Hopkins, piano, Ken Asher, keyboards, Arthur Jenkins, percussion, Bobby Keys, Howard Johnson, Eddie Motto on rhythm guitar, Bobby Keys, Howard Johnson, horns, Steve Madeo, and somebody called Frank, and somebody else, I'm not quite... Ron. I had a five-piece horn section, which was weird. It was just the amount of people that turned up, you know.
All right, well, we'll be spending the rest of the afternoon with John Lennon in Metro Media Stereo, some commercials, and then more talk and music. Dennis Elsa is here at WNAW-FM.
And that's the opening segment of John's visit with Dennis on September 28, 1974. We'll hear another set from this historic show a bit later on in our program.
Coming up on the Lost Lennon Tapes, we'll hear how a child of nature became a jealous guy.
Put the incense on, light the candles, and give yourself a hard time.
Let's get back to the Lost Lennon Tapes.
When the Beatles returned from India in May 1968 with a ton of new songs, one of the demos John Lennon recorded was for a song that didn't make the White Album's final cut. From the Dakota Archives, here's Child of Nature.
On the road to Rishikesh, I was dreaming more or less, and the dream I had was true. Yes, the dream I had was true. I'm just a child of nature. I don't need much to set me free. I'm just a child of nature. I'm one of nature's children. Sunlight shining in my eyes as I face the desert skies, and my thoughts return to home. Yes, my thoughts return to home. I'm just a child of nature. I don't need much to set me free. I'm just a child of nature. I'm one of nature's children. Underneath the mountain ranges, where the wind that never changes touch the windows of my soul, touch the windows of my soul. I'm just a child of nature. I don't need much to set me free. I'm just a child of nature. I'm one of nature's children.
From the 1968 White Album sessions, John Lennon's demo of Child of Nature. Now, the song may not have made that LP, but 3 years later, it was featured on John's Imagine album. The Child of Nature by that time had become a jealous guy.
I was dreaming of the past, and my heart was beating fast. I began to lose control. Thank you.
From John Lennon's 1971 LP Imagine, Jealous Guy, a new lyric for a tune dating back to mid-1968.
Next on the Lost Lennon Tapes, we'll hear some of John's favorite oldies as we rejoin Dennis Elsis and guest DJ John Lennon.
All right, we're not going to bother with the weather. Just look out of the window.
Let's return to the Lost Lennon Tapes.
We're flashing back to September 28th, 1974, a rainy Saturday in New York. John Lennon spent 2 hours of his afternoon visiting WNEW-FM DJ Dennis Elsis on the air. As Dennis points out,
it wasn't strictly an interview. John was literally co-hosting the show with me. And as we both got more comfortable, as we went from hour one into hour number two, John had no problem taking some liberties with our commercials.
Stravinsky, The Rite of Spring on Columbia Records.
Pierre Boulez, folks, listen to this. Play Cart C1. Pierre Boulez's album, The Rites of Spring, spelled R-I-G-H-T-S. Very subtle. Is available at a special low price. No wonder, I tell myself. At all Corvette stores for only $3.87. Or you could get my album instead, but that's a matter of choice. Tonight at the Joint in the Woods, guess who's there? It's ladies' night. They won't like that. Woman's night. Featuring the exciting 8-piece all-female group, Isis or Izzes, depending where you come from. All females admitted at half price. Oh, good. Well, Bowie can get in. Also, Dance and Party with Lock, Stock and Barrel. That probably is a group because it's in inverted commas. Coming next Wednesday, October the 2nd, to the Joint in the Woods. Nothing like a joint in the woods, he says, losing his green card possibilities in one blow. T-Rex on Friday. Now, that's a good band. Now, he's by a couple of his records. He's getting fat with worry. On Friday, October the 4th, Martha Reeves. She's great. And Saturday, October the 5th, Buzzy Linhart. She's great, too. For more information, call, get your little pencils ready, 201-335-9800, 9800. Joint in the Woods, Parsippany.
Yes.
Got it this
well
time,
done.
Yeah. Sounds like a group. New Jersey, Where the Stars Shine. All right, we're not going to bother with the weather. Just look out of the window. Oh, you want the weather?
It's
the degrees have changed. Oh, this is a nice degree. The temperature's 69. Get it? Yeah. Humidity is 90%, number 9, that's all right. Barometer 30.013, that's another 9. Inches and falling. Inches and falling, that sounds like a song. Wind, southeast at 6. See, it's all 6 and 9s. Very deep, man, very deep. The weather in Central Park is still there. And it's cloudy. Okay, that was UPI. We're only giving you one version of the weather so you don't get confused.
Yes.
Are we going back to the favorite?
Yeah, we are, just so everyone can tune in properly, at 102.7.
102.7, in case you're not quite on the dial there, otherwise you get that terrible hissy treble jazz.
And John Lennon is our guest.
Yes, he is.
Or maybe it's the other way around.
Well, depends which... No, I think I'm the guest, because I'm sitting behind the thing.
Yeah.
Although I do have the sweeties and the...
But you brought the records along.
I brought 4 only. You know, I didn't know how you'd take it. I nearly brought 100, but, you know... I forget to play my own album. I'm so busy playing these old...
What is another
American record that nobody I know over here seems to have ever heard of it. and it's called Some Other Guy by Ritchie Barrett. There is a strange bootlegs of the Beatles singing it rather crappily from the cabin somewhere way back in 61. This is another what I call Son of What Did I Say, Son of Watch Your Step, Son of Lick Records, and this is a guy called Ritchie Barrett, who's also a songwriter. I think he's still around, but I don't know what he's doing. This is Some Other Guy. You'll notice the intro is slightly like Instant Karma. Every band in the world, are we on? No, yes, mm-hmm. Every band in the world used to do that song. That was an album version. It wasn't the original single, which, as far as I know, was the first electric piano on record that I ever heard. And What Did I Say is seemed to be the start of all the guitar lick records, because none of us had electric piano, so we all did it on guitar to try and get that low sound. And before that, everything was mainly licks like you get on the Little Richard rock and roll records, like Lucille licks, where the sax section and the guitar played it. And What Did I Say started a whole ball game, which is still going now.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Dennis Elsis, you see, I got his last name from Roberta. You're listening to Roberta, she's making chocolate pudding, and I'm starving. All right.
Lennon talks about the early relationship between the Beatles and the Stones. Next on the Lost Lennon Tapes. With more of the Lost Lennon Tapes, here's host Elliot Mintz.
And let's get right back to John Lennon live on WNEW-FM in New York with DJ Dennis Elsis, September 28th, 1974.
In 1963 and 4 and 5, when the Stones were the group that was coming up hard and strong behind the Beatles, were you all friends?
Yeah, we went to see them at, I believe the place was called Crawdaddy in Richmond, and also, I think, another place in London. And they were run by a different guy then, Giorgio Gomelsky. And immediately we started hanging around London. The Stones were just up and coming in the clubs then. And we knew Giorgio through Epstein, and we went down and saw them and became good friends. And the story on how this song we're going to play, I Want to Be Your Man, which we virtually finished off in front of them because they needed a record. They'd put out Come On by Chuck Berry, and they needed a quick follow-up. And we went down, we met Andrew Oldham, who used to work for us, or used to work for Epstein, and he'd then gone with the Stones and probably got them off Giorgio Gomelsky, and he came to us and said, have you got a song for him? We said, sure, you know, and we thought, because we didn't really want it ourselves, which is one way of putting it. We went in, and I remember teaching it to him, you know, and the whole story of it, which helped my memory of it, because it all fades away, is in that book on Mick, which Mick's not keen on. I understand that, but
Tony Scaduto book?
Yeah, but it's all right for people who they're not writing about those books. You know, if it was about me, I wouldn't like it probably either. But I must say, I raced through it for all the juicy bits, like everybody else, right? And it's very interesting. I don't think it really harms him. You know, it shows that he knows what he's doing, which is cool. I don't think he did anything to Brian Jones either. So here's I Want to Be Your Man by the Stones themselves.
I wanna be your man. Yeah, I wanna be your man. love you like no other, baby, like no other can. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man.
That's the only one that the two groups ever did.
Yeah, the only records we covered, I mean, that we both did the same. Yeah, they did it first. We did it with Ringo after. And that was it. That was the Stones' second single. I don't know what happened over here, but in England it was.
You're still in touch with them and you speak with them?
Yeah, I see. I know Mick's around now. I haven't seen him this trip, but last time I saw him was L.A. In fact, we were jamming together down in Record Plant West, and we made quite a good track. I was so-called producing it, meaning sitting behind the desk. And
was there ever talk then, or is there talk now, of the groups getting together and doing something?
We never talked about it, because in the early days we just had our own careers to look after, and we hung around in two separate periods. One was when they were initially still playing in the clubs. I remember the first thing one of the members, Brian Jones, came over and said, "Are you playing a harmonica or a harp on Love Me Do?" Because he didn't know how, he knew I got this bottom note, and he suspected I said a harmonica, you know, with a button, which wasn't real funky blues, you know, if you're supposed, but you couldn't get Hey Baby licks on a blues harp, and we were also doing Hey Baby by Bruce Chanel at that time. And then the later period was when we were both sort of riding high, and there was a discotheque scene in London, and the main club we all went to was the Ad Lib. There was a couple more, but they were never as big, Bag of Nails. But we used to just go in there and dance and talk music and generally get drunk and stoned and high. And one of the records we always played was in the Ad Lib itself, folks, with all of us sitting there listening and dancing, looking super stoned. And the record was called Daddy Rolling Stone by Derek Martin, which The Who later did a sort of version of, like the English usually do of these great records. Not too good, that's including us.
This was an American record?
Oh, yeah, another great American record. That's all we ever played, American records. There's no such thing as English records those days. So here's Daddy Rolling Stone, Derek Martin on Sue Records, about 63, probably.
Yeah.
I want a Whopper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, don't you? I love them things. Derek, I'm 5 pounds overweight and I want a Whopper, isn't that
Derek funny? Martin?
Yeah, Derek with a D-E-R-E-K. Daddy Rolling Stone. Now you heard the real one for all you Who freaks.
And for all the Lennon freaks, that's a wrap for this week's edition of the Lost Lennon Tapes. Many thanks to Dennis Elsis for being my special guest. And we'll hear other sets from John's 1974 on-the-air visit with Dennis in future broadcasts. Looking forward to being with you next time. I'm Elliot Mintz.
The Lost Lennon Tapes, brought to you by English Leather, a man's cologne and aftershave. Some guys have it all. The Lost Lennon Tapes, a presentation of the Westwood One Radio Network in cooperation with the John Lennon Estate. Written and produced by Stephen Peoples. Production and engineering by Dave Kephart, with pre-production assistance by Ray Klein, Jeff Gowalczyk, and Brian Schiff. Production coordinator Steve Longo. Research assistance by Mark Lewison and John Schwartz. Special thanks this week to all the folks at WNEW-FM in New York. Our executive producer, Norm Pattis. For Westwood One, I'm Scott Muni. Thanks for listening.